my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated.
To see. And also, you know, that we have examples
You know, one of our, another of our, of our, of our best loved hymns, Amazing Grace, you know, was written by John Newton. He was a slave captain. He was in the business of transporting human beings from as slaves, as cargo, as inanimate objects, and the only concern with the mortality rate on a journey was what it meant for business. And then his eyes got opened, and he began to see things in a different way. I once was lost and now am found, was blind, but now I see. Nothing had changed in the outward world. What changed was the heart of John Newton, and he saw things, from 2 Corinthians, exactly what Paul is talking about. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. And the human point of view, again, that's just talking about a context for seeing things. In the human point of view, John Newton saw them as cargo and as business units that he could make money off. And when he began to regard them from the point of view of the indwelling Christ, he saw them as radiant creatures of God. And how could I be doing this? How could I be doing this? So, I want us to think about the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said over and over again, you can't see the kingdom of God. It's not something to be seen. It's a new way of seeing things. And that's part of why it's so difficult to talk about it, because it's not something there that you can point to. It's a change that has to occur in you. And how do you bring that about? Partly, I think you have to want it. You have to want it. So let me step back yet again. And the relationship between Ezekiel and what we hear in the gospel, many people are now hearing that as a joke that we simply no longer get. You know, jokes are dependent on context, and we don't get it. But the reading from Ezekiel was of the mighty cedar, the great, you know, the noble tree, the tree that had splendor, and that was that that was associated with the emerging kingdom of God, and was that that would provide shelter. But when Jesus comes along, he says, well, what can we compare the kingdom of God to? Let's see if we can take a weed. So that, as I said down at St. John's, what they might have heard was, it's as if a rancher planted knapweed and filled his fields with knapweed. It would look absurd. It would look perplexing. It would look, why is he doing this? I think that's what they heard. It's like, let's compare the kingdom of God to the planting of a mustard seed, a worthless weed that would grow up and shelter. Why would Jesus do that? He would do it because, let's just go back to John Newton. From a business point of view, seeing these slaves as human beings is counterproductive. It gets in the way. And I think what Jesus was trying to say to us is that the emergence of the kingdom of God is going to look to lots of people as something that's ridiculous or pointless or not very practical. And I would say that I have been encountering some of that resistance as over the past weeks I've been talking about how central it is in our Christian path to learn to see the presence of God in all things. But for me, as I've been also saying, one of the chief texts that helps us understand what it means to see the presence of God in all things is Jesus' teaching about love your enemies. Because whatever else an enemy is the one you are tempted to exclude from the beneficence of the providence of God. And the vision falls apart if anything is left out. If anything is left out of the providence of God, the vision collapses. The vision is everything that exists has its being in the actual sustaining presence of God, without which things cease to exist. And that's what we're trying to see in everything. And the pushback comes, and the pushback comes mostly around ISIS today. You know, so we're supposed to love ISIS. And I say, yes! We just don't know what that means. We have no idea what it means, and it seems so impractical and so stupid that it's like a mustard seed planted in a field that should be growing alfalfa. It's like knapweed planted in a field. But that's, from now on, says Paul, we regard no one from a human point of view. From a human point of view, kill them all. But from the much more difficult point of view that Jesus invites us into, you have to see them also as creatures of God. And them, and them, and them, and them, and also us. And then always ask the question, well, what would it mean to live more appropriately to our true identity? Part of our human anguish is that we are so forgetful of who we really are and where we really are, and so we don't live it out. But this is what we're talking about, the kingdom, the emergence of the kingdom, or that transformation that Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians. We used to see things one way. Now we don't regard people from a human point of view. We see things, we see God in all things. And like I am struggling to see the fretboard, I also am struggling to see God's presence in all things. Because I'm pretty much convinced, you know, this is the ditch to die in. This is like core to our Christian path. Because it's the only appropriate context for seeing all things. If I see you only in terms of your race or your religion or your gender or your politics, I'm seeing things again, from a human point of view, but I'm also, you know, Paul addressed that in so many different ways. He said, all those differences are not real differences anymore. Male or female, slave or free, Greek or Jew, all of those things have to be let go so that we can see each other at a deeper level. And that deeper level is, you are a creature of God. You may have forgotten it, I may have forgotten it, I might not recognize it in you or in myself, but that's what we're being invited into. That's the kingdom. And I hope we take some heart in a world that doesn't seem to be getting much better. The kingdom does not seem to be emerging. That sense of the farmer in the ancient world scattering the seed, and he sleeps night and day, and the fields are growing. Remember, we are participating in an energy and in a presence that is infinitely greater than ourselves. Again, we have a great deal of trouble recognizing that presence. That's what we're talking about today. But again, the image of the field growing by itself ought to remind us we're not doing this just by ourselves. We're not making this up. This is how things actually are. We're getting in sync with the actual deep flow of reality, and we're leaving behind the tormented dreams that we create for ourselves as human beings. As the Gospel of Thomas said, the kingdom of God is spread abroad upon the earth, and men do not see it. Well, yes, but now we have heard the invitation, and let it be our practice to learn day by day how to see that kingdom, how to see it in ourselves, and how to see it in everyone around us, even those we might be tempted to exclude. Amen.